Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Jail a person for his sexuality or her sexuality would not be the solution in maintaining our Ghanaian family values and ensuring proper human sexual rights. Mr. Speaker, in the least, such individuals who get into our jails become worse off. Mr. Speaker, as a law student, in my final year at Makola, upon visiting in Sawom with my colleagues, it became clear that inmates were being sodomized. It became clear that people were rather getting deeper into that habit and that behavioral aspect of our culture that we dislike. I dare say, Mr. Speaker, that will be retrogressive should we insist as a House on a third reading with these incarceration provisions in the bill.
But quite surprisingly, the sponsors of the bill were not opposed to this. They actually lent their support to this motion. We first heard from the minority chief whip, Gavin Kwame Agboja, who raised some issues with the points that have been canvassed by the deputy majority leader.
My colleague, In fact, there's no argument against the second consideration stage. However, Mr. Speaker, I must say my colleague is abusing Order 171, because, Mr. Speaker, the last time he took to the floor for almost 1 hour and made the same argument, and then we ended up voting.
Right. So this is where we move to. Is it really the case, Sam George, and he is one of the sponsors of that bill? It's a bill that many Ghanaians have had issues with, proper human sexual rights and Ghanaian family values bill. And I just want to get to the end of it and also indicate the sponsors. Okay, I'm losing that. I'll get back to it. Is it really the case that, so those who are sponsoring it at the Honorable Samuel Nete George, MP for Ningo Pram Pram, Honorable Dela Ajua Soa, MP for Kwando, Honorable Emmanuel Bejra, MP for Ho West, Honorable Johnny Tim Fojo, MP for Asin South, Honorable Alhassan Saibu Suhini, MP for Tamale North, Honorable Rita Na Odole Soa, MP for La Dade Kotopong, and Helen Ajua Intoso, MP for Krachi West.
Did you mention
Roxanne Nelson Dafia Mapo, MP for Saadai. He is the last on the list there. Is it really the case that this bill would have passed this week, but for the Afenyoma King's motion that arrested the process?
Well, something. The parliamentary process was in play. After we had finished consideration, the draft person had to do a cleaned up version, which I have here. And once that was done, the next step was a third reading. However, when you look at what the draft person has done, if there are any issues, because the draft person have basically incorporated all we did during the consideration stage. If there were any issues, you could arrest the process. And so we as sponsors had indicated to the speaker, and I have the other paper, addendum 2 here, which is for Thursday, 15 February, 2024. And You can look through, you see the amendments by Honorable Afenyo Marken, but if you scroll through, you also see amendments by myself, yes. Samuel Nati George.
Okay.
I had a number of amendments that I had also indicated to the speaker from the on addendum 2 paper that we're going to be filing. Because, for example, the...
Meaning it was not the fact that Afenyo stepped in,
no.
But you would have stepped in anyway.
Without Afenyo, we would have okay. stepped in. And that's why when he moved his motion,
okay.
we had a sponsor of the bill, Honorable Emmanuel Kwesi Bedra, second the motion.
Okay.
Because we, as sponsors, had critical things we needed to deal with. For example, we had deleted proper and Ghanaian from the title of the bill.
That's right.
And so the bill is now Human Sexual Rights and Family Values Bill.
Mm.
However, when you go through what the draft persons had submitted, clause 3, prohibition against subverting Ghanaian family values. So Ghanaian still repeats itself.
Mm.
So you see there are places, human sexual rights and Ghanaian family values in clause 2.
And
so,
this is in respect of the advice by the Attorney General,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. That every bill that becomes law passed by the Parliament of Ghana is Ghanaian. So there is no, it's superfluous to have Ghanaian in right. the title, which we agreed to. So there are all of these little cleanups we wanted to do. For example, I think that even one of the punishments for persons who broadcast, or in fact it is the prohibition of propaganda of, promotion of, and advocacy for activities.
Which section is this?
This is 10.
Section 10, okay, good.
Yes.
Ahead. Go ahead.
And this is of the cleaned up. I don't know if you are looking at the old one.
All right.
But I think in the old one it would be 12.
All right.
But in this one it's 10. Prohibition of propaganda of, promotion of, and advocacy for activities prohibited under this act. If you look at 10.1b.
Yes, it's in 12 in the old
one. It's in 12 in the old one.
Mm.
It says imprisonment of not less than 5 years and not more than 10 years. But we had I had moved a motion on the floor, which was approved by the House, an amendment, which was approved by the House, to drop this from 5 years minimum to 10 years maximum to 3 years minimum, 5 years maximum. But that has not reflected in this final. So those are some of the things we were arresting the third reading from going ahead
mm-hmm.
to just clean up this. The Honorable Bernard Ahiafo, ranking member, had something on unincorporated bodies and the directors, the liability for them, that if it is established that a director had no knowledge of the activity of the platform, you didn't have to necessarily place that person in a position to bear liability. And this is in conformity with the Companies Act. So we just had a few of these cleanups. Then Afenyo, the Honorable Afenyo Marken, my very good friend and big brother, Deputy Majority Leader, came in with his amendments as well.
Okay.
These amendments he had...
At this earlier, third reading,
yes,
it is open to all members of Parliament that if you had some input to make, you could bring it in at the third reading.
No, the third reading is actually procedural. If the speaker had completed with his statement and asked all those in favor to say aye, once that was done, that is it. So that's why we had to arrest the third reading and do a second consideration, because all your inputs are supposed to be done at the consideration stage.
Hmm.
But the standing orders allow that after consideration, when the cleaned up version is brought, people may still have a few issues.
Mm-hmm.
You can arrest the third reading and go back for a second consideration.
That's right.
So Afenyo's motion was to ask the speaker to admit a second consideration of the bill.
Right.
Now, if you read our standing orders, I think it is order 171. It says that you need to arrest it and then have a second consideration. Now, in 1714, you need to explain to the speaker, are you asking for a second consideration of the entire bill
or
portions of the bill? So those were the debates we had and said, look, there are specific amendments, so it can't be to the entire bill.
Mm.
So it is to the specific amendments. And then we went into that, and Afenyo was asked to then start moving his amendments. He moved the first one.
Mm.
And basically, if you read his amendments, about 13 of them, quite a number of them are the same. Basically asking for all custodial sentences to be replaced by community service. I have taken my time to read his amendments. We did the first one to clause 4. He espoused sound reasons why he thinks that we should do that. I countered with my own understanding. The House was asked to take a vote, and the House sided with my logic and reasoning. And so we proceeded along that line. And I believe that it will replicate itself with all the other instances. Some of his amendments, again, and with the greatest of respect to my senior and very learned honorable member, when he goes about to discuss what he means by counseling and communal sentence and counseling, and goes on to have a counseling program, he must have had his mind to the fact that this is a private member's bill. Because when you set up a counseling program in the manner in which he's setting it up, okay, where it must be administered by the Attorney General's office, and then he goes on to list people who form the counseling panel. Who's going to pay for this? This will definitely attract costs to the consolidated fund. And that cannot be as part of a private member's bill. So if he has any...
It will be the basis for the president to reject...
So
assenting to.
I don't want to believe that this is an invitation to a trap, to entrapment, to get us to accept something that will form the basis for a future denial of assenting to the bill when passed by Parliament. But I think that it's a fine idea. The bill can pass. He can then, when the bill passes and it becomes law, is assented. The Attorney General, through government, can bring an amendment to the bill to introduce these things, which would then impose a cost on the consolidated fund. That would be at the expense of the government. That would no longer be with us as private members. But as private members, we are limited in what we can do.
Okay. So here, you admit that he's making sound inputs to reform this bill. But your fear is that it will levy a charge on the consolidated fund.
That's not what I've said.
And because of that, it may not be approved by the president.
That's not what I've said, Samson. I've said two things. You've taken the second one and assumed that to be everything. That is respect of the composition of the counseling panel.
That's right.
That's the second
part. Which you agree with.
Which I say that if you want... I don't agree. I'm saying that it is sound logic. I will not sit here and say that my learned senior has espoused logic that is not sound. I want to believe that he's training and learning.
Okay, but he has good basis for it.
I mean, he's got good basis. It's democratic right. It doesn't mean I agree with it. But I'm saying that even if he wants to explore that, there's a different route for that. But his amendments are twofold. There is that, and then there is the non-custodial sentence.
Right.
On the non-custodial sentences, I don't agree with him whatsoever.
He gives a basis. You don't agree with the basis.
In fact, he says
that when you look at our prisons,
yes,
and for those of us who have the benefit of being told the stories of the prisons, that sodomy is something that is high there.
Yes.
People get there and these things get bad.
Yes.
So if you are going to put someone at such a place, is it not better to give them something else to suffer, to make a payment or do community service, rather than throw them into a place where there is the propensity to even continue, you know, the thing you don't want?
Okay, there are four responses to that. The first one is, and I quote Afenyo, "I support the non-criminalization of LGBTQ persons. The position of the Catholic Church is clear on it," and he espouses his position as a devout Catholic.
Mm.
Well, the Pope, who is the head of the Catholic Church, made this subsequent to his declaration on blessing of same-sex marriages. He said, "The critics of my declaration belong to small ideological groups, except Africans, whom are a separate case, because for them," and this is a quote from the Pope, "homosexuality is something bad from a cultural point of view, and they don't tolerate it." And so even the Pope has respected African cultural values in respect of his directive of blessing of same-sex marriages. So, again...
And it's clear...
Yes.
...that the Catholic Bishop Conferences, Africa-wide...
have said they will not
total
go...
Total rejection.
Absolutely. Okay. And that's why I'm establishing that, one, I mean, you cannot approbate and reprobate. You can't claim to be a devout Catholic and take a position counter to what the Catholic Church is taking on the position of what this is. Now, two, if you are going
How is the position counter to what the Catholic Church's position is? The Catholic Church's position is that hates the sin and not the sinner.
Yes.
Find a way to reform them, but don't punish sort of want to kill them because they are doing
the Catholic wrong. Bishops Conference of Ghana have stated that when it comes to punishment, that is not their forte. That is the forte of Parliament. It is for Parliament to take a decision on that. And that is what Parliament is doing. They have not said to us that don't enact the law. They, as clergymen, deal with morality and deal with the person. They said they hate the sin, not the sinner. We don't hate the person. We are offended by our laws, are being offended by the act. And that's why we're not criminalizing the person, we are criminalizing the act. If you choose to go and conduct a criminalized act, you pay the consequence. And you see,
an act which is behavioral, according to Afenyo Mark.
Again, that is not backed by science.
How can you take it away from?
The claim that homosexuality is behavioral, as espoused by my learned colleague, is not backed by science and fact. It's merely an opinion, okay, and one that I will call emotional, okay? But it is not backed by the science. The science and the fact establish the fact that homosexuality is not behavioral, and I can take anybody on that debate. Hmm. But you see, when he makes the argument of his visit as a final year law student to Ensawam, then why are we jailing young men for 20 years for stealing a bundle of plantain? Is there no evidence that people who carried out petty theft go into our jails and come out as part of organized armed robbery gangs, that people get hardened in jail? Are we not still jailing people for petty crimes? So again, I keep saying that if you want to be objective, you cannot be selective in your objectivity, with the greatest of respect to any of the proponents
his
of this
counter,
objectivity.
His counter to this is equally formidable.
That
not too long ago, Parliament, mm-hmm. passed a law for plea bargaining, mm-hmm. so that people who do certain wrongs, financial crimes, whatever they are given the opportunity to pay and not go to jail. Mm-hmm. Then he brings to your attention again that Cabinet has actually been working on, or is almost done with, a bill for non-custodial sentence. And we have, as a country, been clamoring for non-custodial sentence for many years now. This is where we have gotten to. There was a bill which has been dusted and is being done again. And in fact, Francis Xavier Sosu believes that the government is delaying with it. So he has decided to sponsor a private member's bill to pass a non-custodial sentencing act so that we don't put people in jail when we can put them to work as punishment.
Yes, so I believe that if you look at the plea bargain bill, for example, or law, for example, that deals largely with financial things, there was a feeling that people think, well, I can steal from the state, go and do 5 years, come back and enjoy the booty
exactly.
that I stole. But what is it that the state wants? The state wants to recover that which has been stolen from the taxpayer.
That's right.
And that's why we say, if we can recover that, then that is really what our intent is, so that people don't just go in. And there have been several instances of people being in prison for 5 years after stealing hundreds of millions. They spend the whole 5 years in a private ward in a hospital, claiming that they are sick, basically on the five-year
plea bargain does not apply to all offenses.
It does not apply to all offenses.
Not even understand? Rape, defilement.
No, because you cannot restitute sin. Mm. Now, when someone has defiled, and for example, if you look at some of the offenses that he's saying we should take away custodial sentencing, the person has sodomized a minor. How then do you say we should do community sentencing for that? How do you gain restitution? And you see, legislation that we are seeking to pass must not only be reformative, but must be deterrent enough. And on this network, I think with Evans Mensah, when he interviewed me, I stated, and something, I'm sure you would bear witness to this, that there are days we wake up and she nikitrayim. You turn, it's not turning. You don't have anything and you have needs. You see that there's needs in the house. But you know that it's not end of month, payday hasn't come. Why don't you walk to the bank next door, take a stick and hit the teller on the head and say, give me this money. And don't worry, when my salary is paid, I'll come and restitute. And I will do community service of coming to clean the toilet in the bank every time. Why don't you do that? Because you know that two things could happen. You could be picked, your face could be picked on the CCTV, the police would do an investigation and arrest you and prosecute you and jail you.
And you would lose the family that you were trying to even go and steal for, lose them in the process. Mm. So you won't go. Worse off, there could be an armed police guard in that bank who could open fire on you and legitimately end your life. So that in itself is deterrent enough to let you say that, oh, in that case, Charlie Evans, today, can I get a soft loan of 100 Ghana or go to HR and finance to find papa? The deterrent factor in the punishment for armed robbery or the punishment for any of the crimes that we talk about is the reason why we all are not going into a state of chaos where everybody is just taking the law into their own hands to hope that they can do restitution.
Don't you also think that on another leg?
Yes.
So first, the country says it wants to be progressive.
Yes.
And is seeking to pass non-custodial sentencing law so that instead of throwing people in jail, we'll let them go and do somewhere, give them a little fines here and there. He says that is retrogressive. And you can find that that is sound because of the country's policy. You are against that. You say that shouldn't work. Now, there are those who are asking the question, and somebody just sent me this message. Kweku Enchubu Esiakum. He says, but sodomy is already punishable under the current law. Chapter 5 of the 1992 Constitution protects my freedom of speech and thought. So how can the anti-LGBT bill, if it becomes law, forbid me from speaking and expressing my thoughts against that law? Is that provision of the bill not inconsistent with the Constitution? That's where the question about whether you are seeking through this bill backdoor to steal in criminal libel. And some say marking may be helping you because you may just pass it and somebody will go to the Supreme Court and this bill will be struck down. And we have seen some of that happen. Laws are passed, the Supreme Court strikes them down.
Samson, I would love if Kweku or anybody can establish for me what part of this bill that I hold. Just read what phrase in the bill even remotely suggests the introduction of criminal libel. And on the first point you made, there is no country in the world, even those who are so progressive and have introduced non-custodial sentencing, who have scrapped custodial sentencing. No country in the world has scrapped custodial sentencing altogether. The best you can have is both running simultaneously. But then they have offenses for which custodial sentencing is a must. In this case, we are offering custodial sentencing, fines, or both at the discretion of the judge and based on the facts presented.
You say I should show you where...
what part of the bill?
There's something that would suggest criminal libel.
Yes, please.
The very provision that you read earlier, which is still in 12 on my...
12, 10 in the new bill.
Prohibition of propaganda.
Yes.
Of promotion of an advocacy for activities prohibited under this act.
Yes.
A person who, through media, technological platform, technological account, or any other means, produces, procures, markets, broadcasts, disseminates, publishes, or distributes or uses an electronic device, the internet service, a film, or any other device capable of electronic storage or transmission to produce, procure, market, broadcast, disseminate, publish, or distribute a material for purposes of promoting an activity prohibited under this act, commits an offense and is liable on summary conviction to a term of imprisonment not less than 5 years and not more than 10 years.
Yes. So 10-1, which is what, or 12-1 per the old bill, says that if you do any of those things relative to an activity that is prohibited under this act. Now, what have been prohibited under this act? That is spelled out.
LGBTQ.
Absolutely. Now, Samson, and that is not contrary to our constitution.
So there can be discussions on this media.
So long as you do editorials.
Mm-hmm.
You do editorials. Good. You can do an editorial on money laundering, but your editorial will not end up promoting money laundering. Why? Money laundering has been designated as a criminal offense in this country. You can do an editorial on holding religious views, but you would stop short of having an editorial that promotes extreme religious views, jihad or crusades.
Okay. Afenyo Makin joins us, but tell me, give me a third example.
Yes.
And that example should be how as a media person,
yes,
I can have a discussion on LGBTQ when this becomes law, yes, without getting into trouble.
So
two says, a person who engages in or participates in an activity that promotes or supports sympathy for...
So those have been changed.
Sympathy
for... Let me read what it reads now for you.
Change of public opinion.
That has, yeah, been changed. So it says, a person who engages in, participates in, promotes or supports an act, prohibited under this act. So sympathy for has been taken up because, again, in the consultation of the committees, we realize that that is subjective.
Change in public opinion.
And then B, aimed at changing public opinion towards an act prohibited under this act. So, for example, the Vigilantism Act. I, as a victim at IRSO West Wagon, would love to have private security that would protect me from possible state actors. But the law we passed in Parliament has prohibited me from having any such macho men around me going into an election. I cannot, for the want, and you will not give me a platform to come and sit here and advocate for the preponderance of macho men in our elections. Why? Because even though I may choose to say that that is my wish, the state has passed a law against it. So something you can engage in academic discourse, and I'll give you a typical example. Evans interviewed me on PM, on I think the news, the main news. But before he interviewed me, he interviewed a spokesperson for a group called Rightify Plus or something, which is an LGBTQ advocacy group in this country. This was in June last year. Now, when he put me on, the first thing I said to him was, Evans, what you have just done will make your network and you yourself liable for falling under then 12-1, now 10-1 of this bill. And he asked me why. I said, you ask them questions about their activities. Fair. But then they now told you that June was Pride Month. Then you then decided to ask them to outline the activities that that group was carrying out in support of LGBTQ in the course of the month. So then you give them a platform to say, on Tuesday, 7th June, we'll be doing this activity here. On Wednesday, this. Now, that is promotion of an activity that is criminal under this act. So that is a place where your editorial policy would draw a line. Because the same way you won't allow me come and sit here and say that, look, I can show you how to launder money using a boutique, you will stop me immediately. Mm. It is the same way you must be willing and able to draw the lines for persons when they want to cross. So you can have academic conversations, you can have academic discussions, you can have an editorial on what it is about chromosomal structure and whether X, Y, and XX are the only known chromosomes or what XXY and XYY constitute. You can have an academic conversation.
I can have
that.
A conversation and say that and allow somebody to say that their investigation, scientific or otherwise, shows that LGBT behavior is behavioral.
Yes, but they'll have to show you they should show you what scientific evidence, because it should not just come and be an opinion that the person is just sitting here and expressing an opinion for it. Again, mind you, the word is the promotion of it. Promotion of something. I can come and talk about something without promoting it. Something. I can sit here.
But in this law,
yes,
is it not very obvious
that
once you say something that is contrary, you know, to the that sort of against, that sort of in favor of these people, then you are committing an offense.
In the same way as a journalist, you have restricted yourself on money laundering, on anti-terrorism, on vigilantism, on all kinds of subjects.
I can talk about the things that those people do,
yes,
in the money laundering world.
Yes, but you don't promote it.
I can talk about it.
Absolutely.
But in this law, it is obvious. Once I talk about that,
there is no part
I'll be caught for promoting
something.
It.
There is no part of the law you've read that
I can,
says so.
I can publish I can publish the images of people caught in money laundering.
Yes.
I can publish whatever it is.
You publish it to what end? Are you publishing
to speak about the substance?
Because you think that it is an ill
but here,
in society.
But here,
yes,
I will be caught by this law.
How?
Afioma King, thank you very much for making the time to join us. Okay, so I understand his line just failed.
Samson, whilst we try to get him back, if you read 13, which is like 12, which is 11 here, okay?
Yeah.
It talks about prohibition of propaganda of promotion of an advocacy for activities directed at a child.
Yeah.
Something. Why would anybody want to publish material directed at a child to evoke the interest of the child in an activity prohibited? So if anybody came to sit here and was trying to teach children that it is fine and okay for a girl child.
That's a different level of the provision there.
Yes.
So look at our constitution, chapter 12.
Yes.
Article 163.
Mm-hmm.
It says all state-owned media shall afford fair opportunities.
Yes.
In my constitution, I have highlighted fair opportunities. And facilities. Facilities I've highlighted. For the presentation of divergent views. Yes. I've highlighted divergent views. And dissenting opinions.
Yes.
Why should I live in a democracy where I cannot have a view different from your view that you are now constituting into a law?
Because a divergent view could be that Bawumia is the best man to lead Ghana. My divergent view is that no, John Mahama is. That has not offended any law of the land. So the constitution is not read in parts, but read as a whole. Your freedom of speech is not, in fact, they say your freedom of speech ends where mine begins. And so your freedoms are not absolute. Even your freedom to life is not absolute. Every freedom in the 1992 Constitution of Ghana is curtailable. So long as, and if you read it, the Constitution, in chapter 5, actually imposes limitations on all the freedoms there. Public health, public safety, and public morality. These are the three bases. Now, are you telling me that anybody who comes to sit here to exercise a freedom of telling men to sleep with men or women to sleep with women or that a child can change their gender even at the time when they don't know what its implications are, you tell me that that is not a fetter to our public morality?
You are saying that with this law,
yes,
if it's this bill, if it is passed,
yes,
I can discuss what goes into lesbianism.
Absolutely.
I can discuss what forms of queer, the LGBTQ, what they stand for.
It's
I can
an
discuss
academic that. Exercise, but
and
you
I will not
proceed,
be held for promoting it.
But you cannot proceed into promoting it. And something, you are an officer of the court.
No,
you know
my that, understanding of law,
yeah,
my understanding
yes.
of law is that to say you are promoting something is not exactly to say go and do it.
So something.
So this law, you something. Will not be the one implementing
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And that's the point I'm coming to. As an officer of the courts, you know that when someone is accused of promoting another's law or this bill when it becomes law, you're not just going to be picked off air and thrown into Sawamo. You will have your fair day in court.
The point I'm making.
The case will be played.
The
judge will determine based on the facts of the case whether what you did constituted an editorial piece as a journalist or whether what you did constituted promotion. The judges will determine.
I'm suggesting to you.
I can have boys.
I'm suggesting to you, Sam George.
And you can't arrest
I'm
them
suggesting to you,
it.
Sam George.
Mm-hmm.
What you appear to suggest here,
yes,
that is permissible under the law,
yes,
will suffer after you have passed this law.
Well, we live in this country. We'll see how it goes. Something there is, and I keep asking you. You and your station, at least I am 100% clear in my mind. I will not be your biggest fan, but I am clear in my mind that you will not allow anybody come and sit on this platform and promote money laundering.
Okay.
Even though I can come... when I was on your show, I spoke about real estate.
That's right.
And how real estate...
They came after you.
Yes.
For speaking the truth.
And we saw how that ended. You get it? But... it was on this show. I spoke about
how
the real estate industry is used as a tool of money laundering. Did I promote money laundering on the show? But I discussed money laundering in its entirety. So that is for you and for our viewers who watch that show, a classic example of how you can have a conversation on the subject matter without promoting it.
Don't you think this is the more reason you should be tolerant of those who, like Afenyo Makin, who is asking you pause let's look at this, let's look at that. Let me bring on.
He's not against it. He's saying that when we find you guilty, Michael, we should give you a non-custodial sentence.
Right, right. Thank you very much. Let me bring in a gentleman I had introduced earlier, Dr. Okay. Michael Jan Nyako, human rights researcher, Center for Human Rights, University of Pretoria. Thank you very much for making time to join us, sir.
Thank you very much for having me, Samson.
Great.
Good morning.
Right. So let's have your take on this, you know, new debate in Parliament about making sure that this bill, if it becomes law, the punishment should be a resort to non-custodial sentencing rather than putting people in jail, and the questions of the potential, clawback on the rights of speech, libel, criminal.
Yeah, no, thank you very much, Samson. And I think for me, my opposition to the bill goes fundamentally to the bill itself, the whole of the bill, not just the recent suggestions by the Honorable Afenyo Martins that there should be non-custodial sentences.
Okay.
And my opposition to the bill stems from what, in my considered opinion, what a democracy should encompass. For instance, does a democracy envisage the possibility of protecting the rights of a minority, no matter how unpopular their conduct or views may be? And I think that a democracy should be that inclusive to encompass the views of a multitude of individuals, groups, and communities that other people might disagree with. And it's okay to disagree with such views or conduct. But the idea that because you disagree with the particular view, then people should suffer criminal consequences for it, that
I think is
completely overbroad. It's something that a democracy should not admit of. And that if you disagree with LGBT rights because of your religion, that's fair enough. That you should have the right to, as a religious person, say, I disagree with it. I will protect your right to say that. But that you do not reserve the right to tell people that because I have a religious disagreement to your lifestyle, assuming without admitting that, even if you were supposed to you were to admit that, there is no genetic connection to being a sexual minority, or that it's just a choice that you make, that your religious views are not incongruent with that particular choice, and therefore a person must go to jail for it. That I think is a very thorny issue. It's going to the extreme ends, and it's something that must be avoided in a democracy, that we might create spaces for disagreements.
The arguments, Doc, have been made, for example, that, yes, they are seeking to protect our African values, but we don't know of an African country where, for example, incest or adultery is a crime, but all the African religions and Christianity, Islam, all frown on adultery and incest. But these are not crimes. Will it not be overstretching the argument when we put this question to the sponsors of this bill, that it is not everything under the sun that you can legislate against?
No, I perfectly agree with you. I mean, I think there's room for moral disapproval. Yeah, I mean, you can have moral disapproval of something without wanting to criminally punish people for it. I mean, there are many things in our society that people morally disapprove of. I mean, people might disapprove of smoking, for instance, or drinking or consuming alcohol. But to the extent that you would say that because I have a moral disagreement to that particular conduct, then the person should be criminally liable, or, in this instance, even, advocacy for change of that position is being deemed to be a criminal offense. I think that will create a very dangerous precedent. There are a lot of countries around us. I mean, there's Benin, there's Ivory Coast. There are many West African countries where there has been never any criminalization of even sodomy or any gay rights, for instance. And there's no controversy. There's no overflow of unwanted activities on the streets. I think there is this sensationalism that is, used to advocate against LGBT rights as though, gay people are just some people who are just looking to offend our sensibilities. Meanwhile, what gay people are asking for is just to be left alone to lead their lives. as long as they are not hurting anyone or causing harm to anybody. And I mean, I understand there is sometimes a conflation with the rights of children and the grooming of children and all of that. And that is perfectly criminalized in many countries. And that's okay. That child sexual exploitation is one issue. But what should consenting adults, grown men and women, or whichever gender identity they might belong to, what should they be able to do in the privacy of their home? And as to the conversation around children, I think there are very legitimate arguments that you can have around children's rights and recruitment of children and all of that. But I have a very principled stand against criminalizing consenting adults in what they do in the privacy of their homes. And that you have a moral disagreement to it is fine. I think you should be able to even preach against it in church or in your community if you want. That is your right to free speech. But you shouldn't get to say that because you have a religious disagreement to it or you're culturally opposed to it, then people all of a sudden become criminals. Because we must have a standard for what we call a criminal offense, that we think this conduct is a crime because it causes harm to other people. You know, not just that it's because we don't like it or we think of it as for want of a better expression, an abomination. There are many things that we think of or culturally believe to be taboos, but none of them is a crime. You know, there are social consequences for certain conduct without us involving the state's criminal law as a tool to use to punish people for things that, you know, fundamentally sometimes is not within their own purview to change. And I mean, I would admit that the science is still very unclear on whether there is a genetic link, to how people become identified as a particular sexual orientation. But even if they would choose it within their own free will, I don't think that is enough basis for them to become criminals all of a sudden. It's really overbroad. It sets Ghana back in our democracy many, many years. And I think that we should not be going in that direction at all.
Okay, so from getting to know the position that you hold, obviously, then there cannot be an argument over here. He's completely against the bill. It's not about...
I'm not going to argue with that.
Yes.
I've shared the platform with Doc before. Yes, in a minute. Doc, you made reference to drinking alcohol, for example. Drinking alcohol is not necessarily an offense, but when you drink and drive, it becomes an offense. And so we clearly are not opposed and are not interested in what two consenting adults do in the confines of their privacy. Sam George and the other seven members who are sponsoring this bill and the majority of Ghanaians are not bedroom policemen. What we are offended by is when these same consenting adults take what happens in the confines of their bedrooms and want to make it an issue of public policy, then public legislation would apply to it. So when you start the advocacy for what should be a private matter, and Doc, I know you're a straight man. You have not identified yourself on this interview based on your sexual preferences in your bedroom. But that is not the same case with the other persons, because everything about them must be defined by the privacy of their bedrooms. When you bring the issue of the privacy of your bedroom into public discourse, public policy will apply to it. And then the question of, does LGBTQ hurt anybody? Who does it hurt? Gay people just want to live their lives without offending anybody. Doc, maybe you need to visit Accra, and I'll take you to a few places, and then you will see how your sensibilities as a straight man will get offended by what is the outward display. And that's why in our bill, we have indecent exposure. And something, as a lawyer, you know that indecent exposure doesn't apply to only homosexuals. Even as a heterosexual man, there are indecent exposures for which I can be liable and criminally prosecuted. But if you ask, does LGBTQ hurt anybody? Yes, it does. The science shows it from the CDC of the United States. It shows that people who engage in homosexuality are 400 times more likely to get HIV/AIDS. Yes, it shows that persons who are engaged in various forms of homosexuality are 60 times more suicidal than heterosexual men. Yes, it shows that persons who engage in homosexuality are 40 times more likely to be obese or substance abusers. So yes, there is a public health crisis associated with LGBTQ. Again, you ask that question and I ask, in the US, for example, what is it that hurts anybody for someone to be polygamous? Yet the U.S. is sentencing polygamous people to 6 years to 10 years in jail, not giving them a community sentence. So you cannot approbate and reprobate. So it cannot be that Ghana, as an independent sovereign nation, is passing legislation that enjoys at least 93% approval from its citizens And then we say that we are going to be set back. Set back by what? The ultimate international legislation on human rights is the UDHR, the Universal Declaration on Human Rights by the UN. It's 75 years this year. Doc, there are 30 rights, 30, 30, enshrined in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. None of them bestows a right on the basis of gender identity or gender preference.
Okay.
So where from this talk about rights?
Okay, okay. So we will not go that route again because we have done that debate and over. When I was talking about adultery, I mentioned incest in the same breath. Yes. Incest is actually a crime.
Yes.
It's an offense. Afeyoma King joins us. Thank you very much. Now, what do you say to the reaction to your two-prong issues for review of the bill before passage? Non-custodial sentence in tandem with the fact that Ghana is seeking to pass community sentencing law so that we don't put people in jail, but rather we put them to work to reform them or just a fine. And also that there's a potential of criminal libel being smuggled back after we repealed it in 2001, is it? Through Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo as Attorney General. Yes, Afeyoma King.
Well, Samson, thank you for the opportunity. I believe you've made a point already. It's just a matter of reiterating what has already been put out there. So first of all, as we all know, we are doing some judicial reforms, and as part of the reform, the regime of custodial sentencing is being done away with. And I hold a view that the main object of the bill, which we all agree, is to ensure that as a country, we go on a certain path of our value system and determine our certain cultural rights and say that, look, this is unacceptable to us as a country. I believe that all 275 MPs agree with that. But the question is, how do you deal with it? Is the solution in incarceration? I say no. Something perhaps, if we relate to some of these things, we may get the import of it. Perhaps, I mean, when you and I were growing up, we had fathers who were very, very rigid, very regimental, strict. If you misbehave at home, you expect to be caned. And that is how the fear factor, prevented us from acting in a certain way. But today, again, you and I know that our children, we cannot use the cane to deter them. They will get worse. And I have teenage kids, and I know that joining with them gives me a result than taking the cane. So, question. If we go to Nsawom prison today and interview the prison officers on this incident of sodomy and same-sex things or gayism in there, isn't it trite that people get rather exposed to it there more in our prison? And something I know that at Ghana Law School, every year, maybe now they stopped, but in our time, we were there at Nsawom, and I believe you've also been there, when it was part of your studies. The stories were told about the same-sex situation. It gets worse over there. So, if they aim...
Sponsors like Sam George don't deny that fact.
Pardon?
Sponsors of the bill like Sam George don't deny that fact.
Very well, very well. So, if we want to correct a challenge in society, if we want to reform, if we want to rehabilitate, should we throw them into jail? Again, the state of our prison. Some other jurisdictions have prisons, but the prisons that they have there, the conditions of those prisons, the facilities they have, and all, allow for reform, the prisons they have are proper correctional centers. In our prison, in Ghana, Winneba Prison, Sekendita Kwadi Prison, in Sawom Prison, Kamale Prisons, can we find facilities there to correct people? So I dare say that those in that situation will be worse off and society will not benefit. Mm. You can take the ultra-conservative approach, say that punish him, deal with him. But I'm saying that as parents, the deal with him approach will not serve our purpose in our various homes today. As prevailed 20, 30 years ago, where your mother will shout and, you know, you'll be shaking. Where your mother would yell at you, insult you, and it would create that fear. Today, if you shout on a child, today, if you insult a child, trust me, you are pushing your child into a panic attack situation. You are traumatizing the child because of the environment. It's not the same. So I am taking this very middle position, this perfect approach. That, okay, colleagues, we are together in this, protecting our family values, protecting our values as a country. We are saying that same.
Okay.
However, let's do this.
All right.
Now, let me go to the second leg of my argument, which you had already put across, the criminal libel issue. You know, you read the provision on promotion, advocacy, and all that. But I don't think I appreciated the metaphor in the submission of my respected colleague when he sought to relate it to money laundering, and that if you are a media house and you promote money laundering, but that's not an issue.
Mm.
In the money laundering, that's a secondary offense. You would have committed a predicate offense of stealing and all that, or you're getting involved in drugs and all that, and you want to hide the tainted income or money that you've gotten. But this is a right issue, a human right issue, that the person is saying that, no, this is my right, inherent right. This is a right in the constitution. Now you say, no, you cannot do it. It's your right, though, but we want to say that you cannot do it. We cannot allow excesses of behavior. So we are limiting you. If it is the case, then why incarcerate me? Why not create a platform where society can help me to integrate? And I'm saying, which of us here, something you or any bishop, any imam, will say that a son, a daughter, a niece, an auntie should be seen being sentenced into prison? No. Okay? So let's be empathetic. Let's look at the way to go to deal with it.
Okay.
But if you say the media house, you know, talking about it, will have to go to prison. The media house, the individual who may be discussing this subject matter or wearing a T-shirt or writing about it because it is deemed to be advocacy in a democracy, that person should be tried. And perhaps if you go and meet very conservative judge, he says that go to jail, get the maximum sentence.
Right.
Meanwhile, we repealed our law and said that, look, when a journalist, when a media practitioner is in a situation like this, you can
recourse.
Go to the civil court, and then, you know, damages may be available for you, and the court may get you some compensation instead of reporting you to the police.
Unfortunately,
and the police saying that you have been prosecuted.
Unfortunately, Afenyo Makin, we are still using the fear and alarm law to deal with journalists, and we are still using also the communications, act, the provisions there, you know, also to deal with journalists for publishing false information criminally, which we should look at. But my question to you finally will be this, if you can be very brief about that. The question is, we accept that these are our morals, and we are, they offend, these things offend our morals. You accept that point to yourself. So you say you are not against the bill. So, like I was trying to make the example, even though in our religious groupings and even our traditional whatever, we hate and we don't like adultery. It's morally reprehensible. We are not we have not legislated against it. If someone has sex with their cousin, for example, it is not caught by any law in Ghana. But because we say we don't want incestuous relations, we have used the law to criminalize incest, for example. So what is wrong? And if you committed if you were caught in an incestuous relationship, you could be going to jail for 25 years. Why are you saying this should be different?
No, but something, what you've forgotten is that ab initio, there were arguments that this law in itself is even needless because we have sufficient provisions in our law books that, you know, prohibit all these acts. You remember? That in laws that we inherited, you know, from our colonial masters, you know, frown on this gayism and all, that you are not supposed to do this and that. And yet the sponsor said, look, that notwithstanding, we want clarity, let us legislate on it. If those laws exist and criminalize it, and those laws would lead to incarceration, that was for yesterday. Today,
okay.
If you ask me what my views are, I'll say that for such situations, criminalizing and incarceration will not give us a solution.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yes, incarceration will not be the appropriate thing.
Okay, so I get it. You have clearly explained that. We have run out of time. I'm very sorry about this. Thank you all very much. For your contributions on this subject matter. It is one of the subject matters that if you allow, we will discuss for the entire show period or duration. Thank you to Dr. Michael Jan Nyako, human rights researcher, Center for Human Rights, University of Pretoria. He is completely against the law, not about the sentence regime and the forms that Afenyo rather wants it to take, non-custodial. And Afenyo Makeng is deputy majority leader. He's moved that motion that Sam George says they would have actually arrested the process to make some corrections anyway. Sam George is MP Ningo Prampram. And thank you so very much. You are, do you say ranking communications? Deputy Ranking Communications Subcommittee of Parliament. Thank you very much for your time. We'll be right back to ask how we spent $5 million United States dollars when we exited just at the beginning stages of the AFCON.